Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Oderico, and this is, of course, February 27th of 2018. Hard to believe that we're already coming up to the closing of a second month here in 2014. It just seems like we were celebrating New Year's not too long ago, and here we are. We're already at beginning our third month in a couple of days. Hard to believe. I don't know where the time's going, but I think the old saying is true. As you get a little bit older in age and as time goes on, time seems to speed up very rapidly. And as I'm approaching my 50th birthday here in a couple of weeks, I'm certainly attested to that. It's certainly true. Anyway, this week I just wanted to make a quick correction here before I get started. I did have originally a guest scheduled for this evening, but unfortunately, he had a prior engagement that he had forgotten about, and as a result, due to the scheduling conflict, he wasn't able to be the guest this evening. But I've already got him rescheduled, and he's going to be coming on here in a little while. But and I'll give you the date at that time. But anyways, I decided that since it was such short notice that I would sort of wing it tonight. So I've got some great things to talk about anyways. First off, I want to talk about, of course, some of the new things that are going to be happening with the program. It's a great year in 2013, but what I want to do first before I get into that is just to let the listeners know that this is a live broadcast here on blogtalkradio.com, and it's live every Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And of course, the program is Golf Talk Live, so when you're visiting the link, if you don't have the direct link, just go to blogtalkradio.com, and up in the search area, you can type in Golf Talk Live. Or the full link is www.blogtalkradio.com/Golf Talk Live, and you can come through here and tune in to the live broadcast every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And for those of you that are a little more familiar with the program, you know that all of the programs, even though they're live during the 6 p.m. broadcast, they are auto-recorded. So if you aren't able to tune in live, which I certainly would love to have you do, you can certainly take time after the broadcast has ended, and you can listen to it in its entirety on the recorded version. So hopefully many of you are tuning in still live, but for those of you, I understand work conflicts and other family obligations sometimes prevent you from doing so, but I appreciate you following up and looking at and listening to the broadcasts at a later time. Also, if you want to speak to me or guests that are on the program at any time during the live broadcast, and that's from 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 8 p.m., you can certainly call into the show at area code 646-716-4667. Or if you're a little bit shy and maybe you just have a question or comment you want to make but don't really want to call into the program, you can just simply send me an email to ted.golftalklive@gmail.com at any program, and I'll make sure that I get to it and read it. Also, for those of you that are tuning into the program that are in the teaching end or in the golf business in general, if you're interested in coming on the program, you can also reach me at that email address at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And I will get back to you as quick as I can about arranging a time for you to come on as a guest in the program. So you can reach me at that email as well for those of you that want to be a guest. If you're looking to get some updates on the show on social media, of course, I'm on Facebook personally. My name is Ted. Last name, I'll spell it. It's O-D-O-R-I-C-O. You can certainly friend me on Facebook if you want to get some updates. I always update on my personal Facebook page. And if you're an avid golf enthusiast like I am, certainly would love to connect with you on Facebook as well. Also, there is a Facebook page for Golf Talk Live, and it's at facebook.com/Golf Talk Live blog. Make sure you have blog on the end there. If you click on that link, I'd appreciate it if you throw a few likes our way, and that will also is updated every week with guests and the upcoming shows and that. So you can certainly follow it along there. And for those of you that also are tweeting and things like that, I'm also on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is Ted and Buck CEO. That's Ted and Buck CEO. CEO is spelt in capital letters. I appreciate all the people that have been following me on Twitter as well. I don't do a lot of independent tweets. It's mainly I use it to help promote the show, but I do occasionally we'll go through and send a few tweets out and that. Just not my thing, but I understand the power of social media, so I want to certainly keep in touch that way. But I appreciate the people that have been following that and staying tuned as to what's happening on the show. Also, you can visit the website. It's www.golftalkliveblog.com. And on there, of course, there's some information on past guests who happen to be authors, some of them, and also some that were promoting products. There's the sections there under the books and also under the products section with the links there. If you're interested in purchasing either any of the books or some of the products, you can purchase it directly through the Golf Talk Live blog website, and that's at www.golftalkliveblog.com. One of the things that I wanted to do, since I had this free night and opportunity to be here by myself, is I really wanted to tell you, since the clock is ticking here, next week I'm going to be launching a brand new segment. You've heard me talk about this a number of times over the last several months, a brand new segment called Coach's Corner, which will begin on Thursday, March the 6th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's going to run the first hour. Of course, it's a two-hour show in most nights. So the first hour is going to be the Coach's Corner. It may run over a few minutes here and there, but essentially the first hour of the program from 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7 p.m. is going to be the Coach's Corner segment, and then the remaining hour is our guests that are going to come on the program for personal interviews and things like that. So I decided to sort of swap it around. The reason I wanted to do that was obviously I realized that everybody has commitments and things, and I didn't want to have that segment too late in the evening when people are getting more comfortable and maybe wanting to watch some of their programs on TV and things like that. And I want, obviously, to get a live participation in that. So I'm going to tell you a couple of the ways that you can do that here in just a moment. But first off, what I want to do is just give you a little idea, a little bit about Coach's Corner. And as I said, it's going to be starting the show each Thursday night from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's really your opportunity to either call in or email your questions to the program to pick the brains of some of the best coaches and teaching pros in the business. Every week I'm going to have a different panel. So we're going to cover a new topic each week, plus help you weekend warriors out there improve your game. So make sure that you call in during the live broadcast, again, which is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7 p.m., or you can email your questions. And I've set up a separate email account, and that is questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. And if you email me a question in ahead of time, I'll be sure to read them out live on the air to the panel. And, of course, we'll take turns giving our perspectives and viewpoints on here's essentially how the segment of the show is going to work. As I said, each week I'll pose some questions to the panel for discussion. I, of course, will start as the principal on it. I will start the discussion, and then I'll rotate around to each of the members of that panel that particular evening for some general comments. I'm going to open the floor to some any additional comments, maybe some rebuttals or maybe some difference in viewpoints, get some dialogue going with that. Afterwards, I'm going to throw in some live calls as they come in and or email questions from the audience. So this is your opportunity to participate into the discussion. So I want you to feel free to call in any time during the live broadcast, again, which starts at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And the number on that program or to call into the Golf Talk Live in general is area code 646-716-4667. Again, that's 646 area code 716-4667. You can call in during the live broadcast and pose your questions at that point. And again, just make them general questions. I'm obviously going to, as the weeks go on, I'm going to announce who the golf professionals are going to be for the following week. But I don't really want to do individual questions to individual guests on the panel. I wanted to keep it as a general question, and of course we're all going to chime in. If you want to email your questions, if you'd rather that because you just don't have the time, you can email them in ahead of time before the program comes up, and as I said, I'll just sift through them as they come in order, and you can email them to questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. So those are two of the ways that you can contact them during the Coach's Corner. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I certainly hope we get some great audience participation with this program. It's really an opportunity, and the reason why I wanted to do this, as I've mentioned a number of times before, but for those of you that might be just tuning in for the first time tonight, there's not really a lot of this type of format. There's certainly, you know, as I've mentioned many times, there's a lot of websites and things out there by a number of different teacher professionals and those in the golf business that allow an opportunity to get individual care and help, and that's great. But there really wasn't a forum other than in chat rooms and so forth to get some really high-quality discussion going on different topics in the golf industry, and particularly to help, as I said, some of you weekend warriors out there that need hay. So I wanted to put together a panel, and I wanted to mix it up so that it wasn't the same group all the time. Certainly some of them are going to be coming back over the course of the year on different occasions, but I didn't want to have the same group each week in and out. So I wanted to sort of mix it up and get some different fresh ideas and comments as we go along throughout the year. But that was really the main reason why I wanted to do that, was just to give an opportunity to a lot of the people out there that really are struggling and need some help with their game. And there isn't really a lot of help out there, and what help there is out there in this type of format tends to be one perspective or maybe two perspectives. I wanted to give a general round. There's been a lot of great teacher professionals that have been on the program over this last year, and I think they've got a lot of a core value to add to you average golfers out there, and I think it's a great avenue for you to contact the program, as I said, either by phoning into the program live or submitting your questions through email. It gives you an opportunity to participate, and also too, I'm looking for some interesting topics. If you've got a topic that you want to suggest for a future program, by all means submit that as well, and just indicate that, you know, it's a topic that you'd like to have on the discussion in the panel. And if it's something that I think that will add benefit to you know, to the listeners out there, then by all means, I'll be more than happy to bring it out. And I want you to make sure that you include in the email that you include your name and also where you're calling, either calling from or where you're writing from, just so I can get an idea of where some of the calls are coming from around the country and possibly around the world in many cases. So make sure that you do that in either of the forums. Now, the other thing that is coming up in the new year, this year in April, is another entirely brand new broadcast, which is going to be airing in April, called The Women of Golf. And this one is a little bit different. It's going to be an hour-long program, and it's going to be on an entirely different day. Let me just tell you a little bit about it. That's coming, of course, this April. It's a little something for the ladies. Beginning in April, I will be joined throughout the different broadcasts by LPGA professional Cindy Miller. She's going to be doing some co-hosting. Excuse me, she's not going to be available every program, but she will be co-hosting on some of the programs. But she is also going to be providing some great audio content for some of the programs as well each month. So I'm really looking for some of her input, and I've got some others that are going to be pitching in along the way as well to provide some great content. One of the primary things that I wanted to do with this is I wanted to create a program that was specifically geared for women, not necessarily just in the industry, but ladies out there that want to maybe take up the game but really don't know where to go to sort of find out how to get that fresh start. And one of the things that we're going to tackle, some of the important topics that we're going to be talking about facing women in the golf industry today, for example, equipment, how to choose the right equipment. Equipment's really important, and what equipment you could probably do without. I also want to include some great coaching tips and things from some LPGA teacher professionals out there. And also I want to talk about some of the accessibility or lack thereof in the golf industry. There's still, believe it or not, in 2014, as I've mentioned in previous broadcasts, there's still a lot of areas in the golf industry where women are still struggling. It certainly has shown some great improvement over the years and over the decades, but there's still a lot of struggles out there for women in the golf industry, not just at the teaching end, but certainly in the business end as well. So we want to tackle some of those during the broadcast as well. Excuse me while I get a drink of water. One of the things that also I want to do is with the program, with the help of the LPGA Foundation, Nancy Henderson and her great staff there, we're going to be bringing some of the best players LPGA Tour are going to be coming in, some of them throughout the month, probably going to have two shows a month where we'll have an LPGA Tour player that will come on and talk about not only life on tour, but also some of the struggles that they face and challenges that they face in their own golf games. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I think that'll be a great way to obviously draw in the crowds and some great listening audience. And, of course, I'm going to be talking with some great women in the corporate world who own their own business and want to come on and promote their golf business and so forth, that's available as well. And here's essentially how we're going to work that here. The show, as I said, is I'm going to initially start it out as I did with the original Golf Talk Live. I started out with an hour, and then as it grew, which it did very rapidly, expanded to the 2 hours. But initially, I'm going to start with 1 hour, and I'm going to have three segments. The first 20-minute segment is going to be essentially an introduction to the show, talk about what's been going on in the golf news, in women's golf, and also what's going to be broadcast live that day on that particular show. And also any guests that are going to be on the show, we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And that's going to be in the first third, if you will, of the program. In the second segment, which will be the second 20 minutes of the program, will be whatever guest I happen to have, whether it be an LPGA Tour player or, as I mentioned earlier, Cindy is going to be providing some great audio content on instruction and things like that. We may have a tour player in, we may have Cindy providing some audio, or we may have an LPGA teaching professional may come on as well to help some of you ladies out there with your game, giving some great instructions. We'll be doing that in that. And then, of course, in the last segment, I'm going to be having some tips on some great travel locations, and that's going to be with a great woman, Barbara Gutstadt, who was a guest on my Golf Talk Live show on, I believe, December 19th. Her and Penny Pauls, who is an LPGA teaching pro, an LPGA tour player as well, joined together and came up with a great business to help those ladies that want to travel and a lot of different great products and services through their new venture. And we'll talk a little bit about that. I'm going to have them on the program to discuss that a little bit further. So the third segment of the show is basically going to be talking about some great destinations. We might have some equipment in there as well, talking about that, and also some general discussion. Some of the things going on in golf that maybe need to be discussed, as I said, some of the lack of accessibility in the golf industry for many of the women out there still. So that's something that we're going to be doing with the new show. And just to let you know when it's going to be starting, on April 8th, which is a Tuesday, it's going to be every Tuesday morning. There'll be four shows, the same as there is with the regular Golf Talk Live. It'll be a Golf Talk Live presentation called Women of Golf. It'll be Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m., Eastern Standard Time. That's 9 a.m. Eastern Standard to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. As I said, we'll run it for the first hour, and we'll see how things go and it progresses. I suspect it's going to grow very rapidly based on some of the feedback I've gotten so far, and I suspect it won't be very long before we expand it to the full 2 hours as well. But I'm going to start it out with an hour, just sort of test the waters. We've had, as I said, some good positive feedback. But that's coming up in April 8th. At 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Golf Talk Live Network. So I'll give you more updates and as the weeks and that progress as we move closer to that. But that's what's coming up as well. And I think it's important. And again, here's really my thought behind this. There is a huge segment of the population that really I think is being overlooked, and that is, of course, women. Now, some people might argue and say, well, you know, we've got the LPGA Tour and there's a lot out there, there's a lot of great teaching professionals, but it's very lopsided. Yes, the LPGA Tour is great, and I love watching. In fact, I quite often enjoy watching it more than I do the men's now for entirely different reason. I find sometimes the men's just gets a little bit too political and just don't seem to enjoy it as much. But I enjoy watching the ladies play. It's more, in my opinion, it's more of an exciting game. It's a well-rounded game. They're not just, you know, tee to green all the time with the driver and a pitching wedge. They're using a majority of the clubs in the bag, which I think is great for golf. I think when you're limited to, you know, hitting the same shots every hole, it tends to get a little bit monotonous. And I think a lot of other golf professionals not out there feel the same way, and a lot of the audience. And I think that also too, I think the ladies just bring a little bit more flair to the game as well. But as I said, one of the reasons that I really wanted to bring forth this particular program is there's really nothing out there right now that's specifically gearing to the women of golf. And there's a lot of great female teacher professionals out there, as well as a lot of business executives out there that are getting into the game. So a lot of corporate types that want to play golf because they understand the benefits and the value. And I just think that the industry as a whole is kind of missing the boat here. So I'm hoping with this program, by stirring up some great conversation and having some keynote speakers coming in on the show and some great guests, that maybe we can put a little spark in the golf industry and let them know that the other half of the population would like to play a little more golf too. They need the doors open, though. So let's see if we can open those doors. And as I said in a recent broadcast, there's still that glass ceiling that I believe in women's golf, and I think a lot of the women out there know it, and they're just waiting for an opportunity to break through that glass ceiling. And, boy, I think you're going to see a big, big surge in the golf industry. But until that glass ceiling is broken, I think it's just going to keep it is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the program in my the good, the bad, and the ugly segment, which is going to be coming up here in just a few minutes. So let me just recap real quick. Two great segments coming in. One is an actual segment. One's a new program. Coach's Corner is going to be coming on the regular, and that's going to be, again, still on the Thursday nights as I currently have it now. That's going to be coming in every Thursday night beginning next, which is March 6th, at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time until 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then following the Coach's Corner segment, I'll have my regular interviews and other discussions and topics and things like that. But the first hour of the two-hour program on Golf Talk Live every Thursday evening will be the new Coach's Corner segment starting next Thursday, March 6th. So make sure that you tune in for that. It's going to be some great great panel on there. In fact, let me give you the names now. These are all top teacher professionals in their field. Tom Patrio, just a few weeks back, he's going to be on the panel next Thursday. Gary Ochino is going to also be on the panel. And, of course, Mr. Chuck Evans is going to be on the panel for our first ever Coach's Corner on March 6th. So make sure you tune in. These guys are great in the business and in the industry and are doing a lot to keep this game moving forward. And we'll also have some great discussion and hopefully take some from all of you out there. So make sure you tune in next next Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time for the Coach's Corner segment. And as I just was wrapping up here, if you want to call in during the live broadcast, that would be area code 646-716-4667. Or you can email questions in to the Golf Talk Live program during that broadcast. If you want to have your questions read on air to the Coach's Corner panel, you can email to questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. And just make sure that you include your name and where you're either writing or calling from, just so we can get an idea. And also, for those of you that are emailing, I would love it if you would include maybe some contact information, an address and so forth, because we're going to be along throughout the year. We're going to be having some great giveaways. I'm going to have periodically have some draws on the program during the Coach's Corner segment, and maybe an opportunity for you to get some great gifts and things like that. So I'm not going to read, of course, that information out on the air, and that information will be kept confidential and not be put into any sort of email blast or things like that. So don't worry about it. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But just make sure you include your name and where you're contacting from, just so that we can at least have an idea of where some of the questions are coming through. So that's said, March 6th at Thursday night on Golf Talk Live, Coach's Corner, starting at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, of course, as I was just talking about a few moments ago, the new show coming on April 8th is the Women of Golf. And that's going to be every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm going to be joined periodically throughout the months by Cindy Miller, LPGA professional Cindy Miller, and some other great professionals as well are going to come and help do a little co-hosting here just to make it interesting and or provide some great audio content. So stay tuned for that. And I appreciate all the help that Cindy's going to be giving me here in the weeks and the months ahead. And also, you want to make sure you tune in. There's going to be some great LPGA Tour players, give you an opportunity. And obviously, I'm going to give you an opportunity to call into the program as well during that particular segment if you want to ask some questions, or if you just want to say hello and maybe show some appreciation for one of your favorite tour players. So you're sure to do that. And as I said, we're going to have some great corporate types on here as well, who have some great golf products and or services throughout the golf industry. And as I build up that segment of as well, I will be starting a new website for this particular show, and we'll be showcasing some of those the great women business leaders. So make sure you stay tuned for that. That's coming April 8th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time till 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Women of Golf here on Golf Talk Live. I'm just going to read out a couple reminder of some things, and then I'm going to move on to letting you know about the Ryder Cup, something I'd read out a little while ago, and I hadn't done it here for a few weeks. But I just want to remind everybody that we are live here on blogtalkradio.com and / Golf Talk Live. That's the link. If you want to speak to either myself or when guests are on the program, you can certainly call into the program at area code 646-716-4667, or you can email me personally at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions. And for those of you that are on social media and want to follow either myself or the Golf Talk Live page, it's my personal page. If you want to friend me on Facebook, please no spammers, but if you want to follow me on Facebook, my Facebook page is Ted, and its last name is spelled O-D-O-R-I-C-O. If you send me a friend request, and if you're interested in golf, I'll be more than happy to connect with you on Facebook. Or if you just want to get updates on the program and you don't necessarily want to connect with me personally, that's okay. You can visit facebook.com/golftalkliveblog and make sure while you're there that you please throw a few likes for that particular program and that page. Want to try and build that up. And for those of you that are on Twitter, you can also get updates through Twitter at my personal Twitter handle, Ted and Buck CEO. So make sure you do that. And also check out the Golf Talk Live website at www.golftalkliveblog.com. I wanted to just quickly read out something that I, as I said, I'd read out. The Ryder Cup, of course, is being played over in Scotland this year, September 23rd to the 28th, 2014. And if you're looking to rent some property during the Ryder Cup, if you want to go over and visit over in Perthshire, Scotland, then you've got the perfect place. Sports events accommodations have a stunning range of properties varying in size and shape, so they will definitely have something to suit you. The team have many, many years' experience in the sports and rental accommodation business, and it's their aim to provide you with all your rental requirements for the biggest team golf event in the world at an affordable price. And if you're interested in emailing them or visiting their website is www.sportseventsaccommodation.com. That's sportseventsaccommodation.com. Or if you want to email Audrey Coates, you can email information to her attention at info@sportseventsaccommodation.com. Again, that's info@sportseventsaccommodation.com. And her name is Audrey Coates, and it's A-U-D-R-E-Y. And, of course, her last name is C-O-A-T-E-S. She'll be more than happy to let you know some of the prizes that they have during the Ryder Cup available. And that's coming up in September from the 23rd to the 28th over in Gleneagles, Scotland. So make sure that you check them out and let them know that Ted from Golf Talk Live referred you to them, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to take care of your needs while you're over watching the Ryder Cup. And I wish I was going over, but not this year, maybe next time, in a couple of years. I want to move on very quickly, if I can, to the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is a segment that I started for those of you that have never tuned into the program before. I occasionally will throw one of these in here, mainly as a filler, but it's I've got some great feedback from some of the ones I've previously done. And for those of you that aren't familiar with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, of course, I've taken that from Clint Eastwood's famous movie and decided that I would each time that I have one of these, I'm going to have something, a good topic, something maybe bad, and then, of course, something ugly. And a few of you out there have gotten a kick out of it, I guess, and have requested that I do these periodically. So I've decided to do one this evening since I had the floor to myself. The first one I'm going to talk about, of course, is always going to start out with the good. And I wanted to really talk about, for those of you that may not be familiar with it, in the great state of Alabama, there is a little-known secret that's vast becoming a big secret. It's known as the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. And there are 11 locations throughout the state of Alabama. I'll read you a little bit about it in just a moment here. But in their latest copy of their magazine that they put out, they're announcing by the numbers 10 million rounds have been played since on the trail at the various locations since its inception. And just to give you a little bit of backness, first off, let me tell you a little bit about the numbers. As I indicate here, most everyone has a favorite number, one that has a personal meaning or represents something special in one's life. Maybe a favorite athlete's jersey number or the date of a special occasion, maybe a wedding anniversary or a special birthday, or maybe perhaps it's just a lucky, maybe some lottery numbers or something. But the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail has a number, and believe me, it's a big one. It's, as I said, 10 million, and that's how many rounds have been played throughout their golf trail. And there's 11 locations, which, as I said, I'll read here in a minute. So I want you to consider that for a second. 10 million rounds of golf. Now imagine all the shots, the birdies, the bogeys, the pars, and of course the other scores that have been recorded, and all the friendships that have been celebrated, and all the business deals made on the Robert Trent Jones design layout. Then consider all the other numbers that have been created, the economic impact, businesses that have been attracted to the state, and the business enhanced by the trails, lives affected through business and leisure ventures associated with the trail, and consider the number of those aspects represented. The Robert Trent Jones Trail is big, and it continues to get bigger every year. And the number of rounds, of course, get bigger and more frequent. Now, what's interesting about the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, and why I wanted to, I've played on a few of the different locations. I certainly haven't played them all, and before I leave this great earth, I intend on playing every single one of them. But I've played a few here. Of course, there's one in Dothan, Alabama, called the Highlands. And it has, I believe, 36 holes. I've played all of those. And I think they also have, I haven't played this part, but I believe they also have a nine-hole executive course as well, par three course, which is great for practicing up, especially on your short game. But what's interesting about this is this was sort of the brainchild of Dr. David Bronner. He was the CEO of the Retirement Systems of Alabama, which is basically was in charge of the pension funds for many of the employees for the state of Alabama. And he came up with an idea of the Robert Trent Jones Trail. And the reason why he did this was essentially he wanted a way to get tourists to stop in Alabama. And obviously, as he indicated here, this was about 20 years ago when they did this, when he came up with this. A lot of folks that are going to Florida, of course, for vacationing, spring break, that sort of thing, or in the wintertime, some of the snowbirds coming down, they had to either go really two choices. They either had to drive through Georgia, depending on where they were coming from. They're coming from the east. A lot of them went through Georgia, or if they're coming from the Midwest and other parts, they would have to drive through Alabama. So he sort of asked himself this question: well, how do I get their attention? How do I get something to make them want to stay instead of just filling up with a tank of gas and trying to get through the state as fast as they can? That was one aspect of it. The other aspect was really industrial recruiting, and what he refers to here is a combination of golf and business, a closer bond that many can recognize. Golf has always been really a very successful component in business. Many of your most successful people here in the United States and abroad have used some way, shape, or form golf as a business tool, really, and as a way to network with business clients. And many, many deals, probably more than you and I would ever imagine, have been done on the golf course. And so this was something that he wanted to do, and his vision has proven really in a visual sense to be a 2020. At the same time that he oversaw the development of the quality courses across the state, his main goal in establishing the trail also took hold as well. And it's enhanced the economic impact across the state, and especially in the areas where the trail and courses are established. And it has had an immediate and dynamic impact on the tourism revenue for the state in all of its numbers. The Gulf really generated necessity of the RSA, which is the Retirement Systems of Alabama, to get into the media companies. It's helped them to get in other areas as well as a result of the revenues that have come in. And it's really, to me, I think was a fantastic concept for David to come up with, because what it's done is it's really definitely has impacted the state of Alabama by great leaps and bounds. And if you've ever had the pleasure of coming through Alabama and played at some of the different locations, I'm going to read them out here in just a second, certainly seeing a lot of great golf courses, and they're all resort quality golf courses, and they're open to really anybody that wants to play. One of the great benefits of doing that as well is they offer what they call a trail card, and I have one here that I get when I come into Dothan, because of course I live down in Panama City Beach, Florida, but as long as you're within a certain driving range of any of their sites, you're permitted to get a trail card. And I believe the trail card, if I remember correctly, the annual fee is $35. But what it does, it substantially reduces the green fees. So it's kind of like a discount program, if you will, because some of the rounds might be as much as it could be over $100. It might be $65, $70, and many of the greens fees are half that as a result of being a member of the trail. And certainly more than got my money's worth. And they've got great practice facilities as well. So I'm going to read you from really top to bottom where some of the great courses are here. Of course, they got the Marriott Shoals Hotel and Spa in the northwest part of Alabama. And that's, of course, the Shoals, which has 36 holes, and that's in Muscle Shoals or Florence, Alabama. So that's up in the northwest part of the state. And then directly across over a little central or closer to the eastern side, of course, is Hampton Cove, which has 54 holes, and that's up in Huntsville, Alabama, which is straight shot up, actually 431, which is the highway. They've got 54 holes there at Hampton Cove, and that's up in Huntsville, Alabama. So that's the other location. A little further down and still on the eastern side, closer to the Georgia border, is in Anniston or Gadsden, Alabama, is Silver Lakes, and that's got another 36 holes. Moving a little over to the center, not quite as far up, but just a little south and over to the center, is the Oxmoor Valley, which is just in part of Birmingham, and that has 54 holes. So you can see that they're all top quality resorts. They've got a lot of great golf holes. It's not just 18-hole golf courses. They've got several at most of the locations, at least, I believe, 30, most of them. Some of them have 54. Across from that, just a little further down, is the Renaissance Birmingham, which is also the Ross Bridge Golf Resort and Spa. And in Ross Bridge, that's the only one that has, sure, I think this one, don't quote me on this, but I think the Ross Bridge has 18 holes, which is part of Hoover as well, Alabama. And that's about in the center of the state. So you've got, from the center up, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 great, great places to go and play with plenty of golf holes. And you can get on, as I said, if you become a member of the trail card, you can get some great discounts as well. A little further down, you've got the Grand National up in Auburn or Opelika, which has also 54 holes. That's over, again, to the southeast part of the state, about two-thirds of the way down, and that has 54 holes, and that's just outside of in range of Auburn University. And then, of course, over to the center, you've got Prattville, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, which is Capitol Hill. That has 54 holes, and that is around the Montgomery Marriott Prattville Hotel and Conference Center at Capitol Hill. And that has, I said, 54 holes. A little further down, you've got Cambrian Ridge, which has 36 holes. That's in Greenville, Alabama, and that's just off I-65. And then, of course, you've got, as I mentioned, down over to the southeast, You've got the Highland Oaks, which has 36 holes here in Dothan, Alabama, which is actually where I'm doing the broadcast from tonight. And then over off of I-65, over towards Mobile, you've got Magnolia Grove, which has 54 holes as well. And I have something to mention about that in a few moments as well, both that and the Capitol Hill up in Prattville. And then, of course, last but not least, you have right at the very bottom of the state, you have the Grand Hotel Marriott Resort and Golf Golf Club and Spa, and that's the Lakewood Golf Club there, which has two 18s, 36 holes, and that's in Point Clear, in the Point Clear area in Alabama. So you've got 11 locations with multiple 18s on all of them, except for, I think, the one up in over at Ross Bridge. I think that one only has 18, but don't quote me on that. It's just what's showing here. But I've visited most of them. I have not had an opportunity. I've played in Dothan, and I've also played at the one down at the Grand Marriott down at Point Clear, and I'm looking to play at some of the other ones here as well. But great, great locations. Now, I mentioned to you two of them, the Capitol Hill and, of course, Magnolia Grove. The reason why I wanted to mention that is for the last, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many years, the LPGA Tour has made two stops in Alabama, heading to the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail again in 2014. First in May, they're going to be heading to the Mobile Bay, excuse me, my tongue's tied this evening. GA Classic will be landed at the Magnolia Grove May 22nd to the 25th. That's May 22nd to the 25th. In Mobile Bay, the LPGA Classic will be at the Magnolia Grove. And then a little bit later in the year, from September 18th to the 21st, they're going to be heading up to Capitol Hill in Prattville, which will host the Alabama LPGA Classic. They've been coming back to these two great facilities for several years now, and I know that some of the feedback coming from the LPGA Tour, many of the players, is they're just first-rate, absolutely first-class resorts and golf courses, and why they keep coming back every year. And I would not be surprised somewhere down the line that they may work in some of the other locations on the Alabama Golf Trail, or affectionately known as the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. All great designs, as you can tell by what I've read out here tonight, some great locations, and definitely worth checking out. If you go to roberttrentjones.com, you can get you can see where a lot of these courses are, and you can also, if you're down in the area, you can get a copy of the trail guide at most of the golf courses in the area, not just in Alabama, but even down in parts of Florida at a lot of the visitor centers, you can get a copy as well. But definitely the visitor centers throughout the state of Alabama, anywhere, and also at any of the courses. So if you happen to be traveling through, whether you're a snow or whether you're coming down on spring break and you happen to like golf, make sure you pick yourself up a copy of the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. So that's what I picked for the good tonight. I just felt that it's a great group of courses, and I just thought I would give them a free plug tonight on Golf Talk Live. Before I might move on to the bad, let me just quickly remind everybody that we are live here on Golf Talk Live, and if you want to call into the program at any point throughout the live broadcast, you can do so at area code 646-716-4667, or you can send me an email at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Now, I want to just very quickly also remind you, for those that may be tuning a little bit later in the broadcast, I'm do this. If you want to get more details, you have to listen to the early part of the broadcast. You have to listen to the recorded version a little bit later on. Very quickly, coming March 6th next week, I'll be starting a new segment, Coach's Corner. I'll have a panel of teacher professionals and coaches on the program every week. I'll have three new coaches every week. We'll be talking about some different topics. I'll be posing the question, some general questions to them in the first part of the program. And as we go on, we'll hopefully be taking some live calls and some email questions as well throughout the program. So you want to make sure you stay tuned for that. Also, on April 8th, I'll be starting a whole brand new Golf Talk Live program called The Women of Golf, and that'll be taking place every Tuesday beginning April 8th here on the Golf Talk Live network at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you want to make sure you stay tuned for that. On the bad, getting back to the good, the bad, and the ugly, the bad topic I chose tonight was not about anybody in particular, but was just about how to recover from a bad round of golf. We've all been there. We've all had moments where we've been out on the golf course and just couldn't seem to put a good round together. And a lot of people obviously allow that to creep inside their mental psyche and just sort of ruin things for the day and beyond. So I thought I would give some, and I've got four steps here that I think should all adhere to. Now, there's obviously other things that you can do as well, but I think these four kind of cover most of the generalization on how to recover from a bad round. And as I said, everybody, including the tour professionals, every now and then will have a bad round. And obviously for some of you higher handicapper golfers out there, it might happen a little more frequently, but here's some things that you can do. Number one, if you've had a bad round, try not to get mad. Now, I know that sounds easier said than done, and I know from experience playing with some friends back home, I can remember a few club throwers that I've played with over the years, and it's just not going to solve anything. All it's going to do is add to the frustration and end up costing you some money if it happens to ricochet off a tree. So throwing clubs is not a good thing. So number one, try not to get mad and realize that it just wasn't your day. Part of the fun of playing golf is the game itself, being with friends, being in the outdoors, and, of course, practicing your skills. Even a bad round teaches you a lot and is simply a learning and improvement experience. So number one, try not to get mad if you've had a bad round. That would be number one. Number two, forgetfuls. We've all had them. We've gotten up to a par three. We've had a good round going. You pull out your iron, or maybe it's a long par three, and you pull out maybe a hybrid, and you've got a lot of par threes, of course, tend to be a little more difficult at times. You'll have some water, maybe some extra bunkers there to make it more challenging, and lo and behold, you've maybe pulled it or pushed it into the water, or you've hit into a greenside bunker that's a little deeper than you're used to getting out to, and it's just turns a good round into the beginnings of a bad round. So here's something that you can do. Forget the bad holes. They are in the past, and they were only mistakes. Move on. If you must go over it, do it as a technical exercise to work out how to improve for next time. But here's the key. Do it on the range, not on the course. Too many people, I've seen this, and many of the teaching pros out there that are tuning in tonight, I'm sure can attest to this, how many times that they've maybe taken out a student on a playing lesson, and I've seen this myself when I've taken out a student, and they'll have a bad hole or a bad shot, and they will sit there and try and reinvent the wheel while they're continuing on. And most of your instructors will tell you they may critique certain things as they go along during a playing lesson because it is different, but they will also tell you to get it out of your mind and let's move on to the next hole. And they may review it at a later point in the lesson or when the round is over. But that's number two, forget the bad holes. Leave them in the past. Look at them as a mistake, but use them as a way to improve the next time, but do it on the range, not on the golf course. That's probably the key thing right there. If I was to say one thing, if you want to work out some of the bugs in your golf game, do it on the range, not on the golf course. When you're doing it on the range, number one, you have more time to spend and to focus on the things that you need to focus on. When you're doing it on the golf course, more often than not, you're holding up people behind you or you're feeling the pressures of the round and you're not going to be able to concentrate the way you do and you don't have the time. You need to be playing the round. You need to stay focused in the moment and what's ahead of you, not what's behind you. So forget the bad holes. Leave them in the past. Problems. See where you went wrong. Again, do this on the golf course. Make a note. If you want on the golf course, if you played a bad hole, going back here for a second, and you want to look at the problems, jot down very quickly, maybe somewhere on the scorecard or keep a small little notepad and make a quick note when it's not your turn, not when you need to get ready to play the next shot. But make a quick note, what went wrong? Did you keep hitting your drives? You're hitting them into the trees, and you want to improve on that, that's a great thing to do. Make a note that you're not driving the ball well. Make some quick notes. Maybe you had difficulty getting out of a bunker. Make a note of that as well on a particular hole. And take those, and those are things that you can work on going back to number two, where I said keep on the range. Keep it on the range, not on the golf course. Make notes if you need to. Keep the pace of play going and work those things out the next time you're out in the range, or if you've got some time after you've played that round of golf and you want to go back to the range and work out, that's where you need to do it, on the range. And also, I would strongly suggest, particularly for you high handicappers, get lessons. The next time after you've taken a lesson, play much better. You're going to get some expertise in there, and you're going to be able to get another set of eyes looking at what the problem is. You know, we don't have mirrors out on the golf course with us to be able to see all these things that go on around us. And more often than not, a professional standing there watching, looking at how you're swinging the club and how you're addressing the club sometimes can make a world of difference. It might be something, it could be something as simple as your ball position. It might be just your tempo is off a little bit. They're going to be able to pick that up, especially if they've been working with you for a little while. They're going to know some of your swing faults and be able to give you some sound advice on how to work that out. But again, visit your local teaching professional, and if you don't already have one working with you, and do that before you go out and play the next time. I would strongly suggest you do that, and I guarantee it, you'll be better in your next round. Number four is really sort of encapsulates really the first three, and that's take it as a learning experience. This will definitely add to your maturity and become more patient. It also has been said that the more you fail, the better chance you have of doing well in the future. Every great player has had bad rounds now and then, so why should you be any different? Treat it as a learning experience, much like you do. As many people have said in the past, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard the saying before, golf does really mimic life in many, many ways. And here's as a good example. In life, we have experiences, whether it be a bad business deal, maybe something didn't go well at work, or something didn't happen in your day-to-day life, then beating yourself up about it, treat it as a learning experience. What did you learn? Make notes if you need to. If you're somebody that is a note-taker, by all means, make notes, and then reflect on it later on. Look at some of these things that have been happening. And I guarantee you, if you treat it that way as a learning experience, looking at the mistakes, they're simply mistakes. You didn't necessarily fail at something just because you had a bad round that particular day. You might have a better round next time. But take a look at some of the things that you did during that round. Make some quick notes while you're out there, while they're fresh in your mind, or immediately after after the round, make some notes when you get back to the clubhouse and you're having a sandwich or a drink, and make some quick notes in that pad or in that little booklet or on the back of the scorecard on some things, that areas that you struggled with that particular day. And then go talk to your local teaching professional, your PGA or USGTF teaching professional, or LPGA professional for you ladies out there, and say to them, here are some things that I've noticed that I'm struggling with in my rounds, and here seems to be what's happening. And let them help you work it out. This is what they're being paid to do. This is why they're in the business. It's like, look at it as in the medical profession. You go to a doctor when you're not feeling well and you have aches and pains and symptoms. You go to the doctor because they're trained and they're to be able to ascertain what is wrong and why you're feeling the way you do. So treat your teaching professional the same way. Treat them like you would a doctor or a healthcare provider. When your game is sort of in the tank, as it were, or you're just struggling with some minor aspects but maybe need some fine-tuning, go to your local teaching professional. And if you've never been to one before, I strongly suggest that you go and take some lessons. This is something that I see so many times, especially with new beginners in golf. They might take one lesson, or they might take – and I'm going to say this, and I know there are a lot of people out there that may or may not agree. Do not take lessons from your buddies. If they're not a qualified teaching professional, do not listen from your buddies unless you really don't care about your golf game. Now, you might have a guy that plays pretty good golf, but I guarantee you more often than not, he or she is going to have some swing flaws and things in there that they need to improve on, and all you're going to do is pick up their bad mistakes. So treat it as number four, treat it as a learning experience. When you go out there and you have a bad round, don't let it get you down. Don't get mad. Forget those bad holes. Look at the problems, jot them down if need be, and treat it as a learning experience. And I guarantee you that if you look at these a bad round in these four steps, I guarantee it you'll have a much better experience the next time you go out and play. That was the bad category tonight. The ugly category is a little bit more in-depth, and I just want to remind the listeners again one more time before I get into the ugly section tonight, is that it is a live broadcast, so you're welcome to call into the program if you wish at area code 646-716-4667, or you can email me directly at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, or for those of you that are wanting to follow on social media, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog, and make sure when you're there to throw a like my way. You can also follow me on Twitter and get updates on the program as well at Ted and Buck CEO, that's CEO in capitals, and also check out the Golf Talk Live website at www.golftalkliveblog.com. On the ugly category tonight, and the good and the bad, I wanted to really talk about something that I think is very, very important in the golf industry, and that's the golf's decline in America. And you might be sitting there thinking to myself, what are you talking about, the decline? If you ask most people in the golf business, they will tell you, those that are at least being honest, that there has been a decline for some time, and it's not just because of the recession. There are a lot of other factors involved, and I'm going to talk about that. I was looking for something to talk about tonight in this particular category, and I thought rather than talking about a specific individual, as I said earlier, I wanted to pick something in generalization, and I couldn't think of something better really than the declining of golf. And golf is something that's I've played from a very early on time. I've started playing golf when probably really before I was seven, but really started taking it more seriously when I was about 7 years old, when my father taught me, who was a very accomplished player in his own right, helped me out to be able to play, and then of course I progressed from there. And so golf has always been a very important part of my life. I've played it with not only my friends, but I've played it in a lot of corporate outings. And of course now, I teach golf and enjoy that aspect. I've always wanted to do something to really help others learn more about the game, and I couldn't think of a better way to do that than to become a golf teacher professional. But I've noticed over the years, and there's a lot of different debate on why, but here are some of the reasons that I believe that golf has declined in America. And the reason why I pick America is obviously that's probably the biggest stage in golf around the world. And, of course, as many of you know from listening to the program before, I'm originally from Canada. So I'm throwing Canada in there as well as let's say North America instead of just America. Excuse me, let me just grab another mouthful of water here. The golf's decline in North America is not just due to economics. It's really due to the change that we have made over time. And let me just read you a couple of things first. Golf is certainly on the decline in North America. It's a reality that has finally, I guess, really sort of hit us in the face, if you will, like a 2x4. The number of core golfers, those playing 8 rounds or more per year, has fallen between 4.5% every year since 2006. Since 2007, the number of golf courses closing in America has significantly outnumbered the number of new courses being built. And that obviously is a result of a number of things. Obviously, economic times, but also the decline in golfers playing golf and keeping those courses full all the time. The downward trend in American golf or North American golf is making its way even to the professional level. Just to give you an example, in 1986, the American golfers made up 60% of the top 100 players in the golf world, in the world golf ranking, excuse me. By the end of 2010, Americans made up only 32% of the top 100. That's a big drop. Upon viewing these numbers, most immediately, most people cite two main causes, cost and time, which those are certainly two of the main factors. I would say that cause of time issue is particularly is actually one of, if not the biggest problems when it comes to the decline of golf in North America. In terms of pure participation in the game, the cost issue isn't really that as large of a factor, certainly in mine and many other opinions. More than 80% of golf participants play at public courses, and junior and senior golfers combined make up 30% of all golfers in America. So this means that the other 70% of golfers are between the ages of 18 and 65, and a very large portion of that segment certainly has the financial means to pay a $45 public green fee once a week if they desire to. So if you think about that, 80% of golfers out there play at public golf courses. And of those, the majority of them certainly have. So it's not really have the funds to pay that on average $45. Now, obviously, some are a little bit more than that, and some might even be less. But $45 is probably about the average public green fee. So certainly they could play once a week. The plain and simple majority of Americans have the means to play golf. They just simply don't have the time. Any sharp increase or decrease in the golfing public will be driven by the common golfer. So as an example, 9-to-5ers with a little extra money in their pockets that enjoy going out and playing a round of golf with their buddies truly drive the amateur game in America. But one of the major issues when it comes to the common American golfer is that our modern lifestyle is not conducive to golf. When I mentioned here about the 9-to-5ers, it's more in a figure of speech than a reality. There are really no more 9-to-5ers left these days in North America. You're lucky if you're a 9-to-7er. And according to, as an example, I was reading a great article online, and according to the Center for American Progress, more than 85.5% of the males and 66.5% of females that work more than 40 hours, work more than 40 hours per week, not including an hour for lunch. 38% of professional males are working more than 50 hours per week. Americans work 270 hours more than British workers, 300 hours more than Australian workers, and nearly 500 hours more than French workers each and every year. So that means that most North American golfers have little time for anything other than working, eating, and sleeping during the week. For most Americans or North Americans, there's virtually no such thing as catching a quick nine after work. We simply work too many hours. And that doesn't factor in those that are involved in a lot of social media activities as well. So when you add all that in, that's including that onto your regular 40, 50, or even above work week, now you're even cutting that time down. It also cuts down the potential time available on the weekends to get in a round of golf. Being that most working golfers in North America have little time for much else other than working during the week, there's a lot more that has to get done during those, 48 hours on the weekend. So, cutting the grass, for instance, and doing odd chores around the house. Taking 4 or 5 hours out of a Saturday afternoon to play a round of golf with friends simply isn't feasible for most golfers now in North America. The other issue is that although vacation time may differ from company to company, generally speaking, most Americans or North Americans receive 2 weeks of paid vacation days per year. That's only 10 days, and most Americans covet those precious few days more than gold. So every single country, with the exception of mine, Canada, Japan, and, of course, the United States, mandates between 20 and 30 paid vacation days per year for full-time employees. So it may not sound like a big deal in terms of its effect on golf participation, but it is. People like myself value those 10 or so vacation days to go on family trips once a year. So unless you're somebody that's sort of in that well-off category, the average working person out there really only gets a week to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks at most, vacation days a year, and that's usually saved for, of course, family trips. So taking Friday off here and there to play golf is virtually unheard of nowadays in the United States. And if you do that even just 4 or 5 times a year, you've sort of plowed through half of your allotted vacation days. And most companies would look very unfavorably in this day and age with so employed and so forth. So whether you're using your vacation days or not, a lot of companies this day and age, if they know that that's what you're doing, whether you tell them or not, they're not going to look very favorably. And in fact, we're kind of caught in a trap nowadays in the working world, where companies expect you to work above the traditional 9-to-5, 40-hour work week. They want that person that's willing to go the extra mile. And as a result of that, it's been suffering, in many, many ways, not just in golf. But so taking off a week to relax at home and catch a few rounds of golf and maybe do some housework would have your boss, coworker suggesting that you seek some other psychological help. Plain and simple, the view that Americans live to work is right on the money. In general, our work-life balance here in the United States is horrendous, and it's the same in Canada. Being that golf falls within the life section of that time balance, it should come as no surprise that people are playing fewer and fewer rounds of golf these days. The time simply doesn't exist anymore. So yes, the American economy is still struggling, and yes, golf in America is extremely expensive if you're looking to play top quality courses. But all that is really trivial when compared to the true underlying reason why so many people are reluctant to go out and pay that $45 green fee on a public course on a Saturday afternoon. The game of golf is not the problem, nor is the 4 hours it takes to play the 18 holes. The problem is that the work, go, go, go American lifestyle really doesn't leave 4 hours for most Americans to sit back and relax each week. Now, this lifestyle issue affects far more important things than golf, such as time with your family, people's abilities and other schoolwork and things like that. So it's not just golf that it certainly affects, but golf is only one aspect that is affected by the general lack of balance most of us have in their daily lives. But make no mistake, golf is being detrimentally affected by the American culture of living to work. You can address this issue. Some have thought about trying to make 12-hole courses or night golf, but why not address the main underlying issue, and that is why people simply don't have the time to participate in this great game anymore. The fact that most Americans need a lot more balance in their lives, and the more balance comes, more time to relax, take part in things such as a leisurely round of golf with friends and family. So this is really something that's happened, and I just want to add a few more thoughts here before I wrap up this segment. Our time has become so monopolized, as I said, with not only work. I mean, obviously, some down two jobs. There might be people out there that are working 60 hours a week, and on top of that, maybe going back, getting some additional post-secondary education, upgrades and updates and things like that in order to be competitive in this ever-changing world. And as a result, golf is hurting. And I think most people that are honest within the industry would certainly agree with that. So what are some things that we can do? Well, most people will tell you, well, I can't quit my job and I really can't scale back the hours. We need to have this extra income or this additional income coming in to make ends meet. And so I really can't afford to make a change in my work, per se. But there are ways that we can. For instance, as I said, social media is one way. I'm certainly on social media. I promote this program through the various social media outlets. What I don't do is I don't spend every waking free moment on social media. And by virtue of that, as I said earlier in the program, you know, I certainly do go on Twitter, and I certainly do check things, and I'm certainly on Facebook more often than not. But I'm not, you know, reading through everybody's personal news, and I will scan through it and make some updates and things like that, not only on my personal page, but, you know, obviously some friends and colleagues and things like that. I'll make some comments from here to here, here and there. But I don't spend what's happened, even in the business world, for those executives out there, social media has become such an integral part of our day-to-day personal lives, but also our day-to-day business lives, that we really don't know how to turn it off. And golf is a great balance to that, if you will. Golf, if done properly, if played properly, as I alluded to earlier, is a game that's meant to be fun. Obviously, the pros are playing at a different level, and they're there to earn a living, and they're there to compete at the highest level. But for the average person out there, we're really out, most of you higher handicappers in particular, you're just out there to have a good time with your friends and family. Maybe you're playing in corporate events and you want to have some fun with some of your coworkers, which is great, and I strongly urge those of you that aren't doing that to get engaged. But what's happening is we're spending whatever spare time we do have doing things that are really not productive and not benefiting. And what social media has done, I want to disagree a little bit about the work aspect. I agree that many of us are working too hard and that's cutting into time, but I think the social media has equally needs to share some blame here. You know, we need to find balance in our lives. Communication has really come to a screeching halt in society during with the younger generation. I think most of you out there that have teenagers and that particularly, I'm sure you'd have to think back long and hard when you had the last sit-down conversation with your children. Most of them are in and out the door. They're playing sports in some cases, or they're texting and tweeting friends, or they're on Facebook or some other form of social media. And very rarely are you having a sit-down meal where you're talking around the family table. And that was something, as a youngster when I was growing up, that was something that we did for many, many years. And although to some of the younger generation they might find that boring, what it did is it created some great conversation. We were able to share some stories. And much like that, golf is something, as I said earlier, mimics life. Golf is, in my opinion, the great equalizer. It's provided not only a lot of fun and joy in my life to play, and obviously, you know, even more so now that I'm teaching, but it's allowed me an opportunity to engage in a social event of a different kind with friends and coworkers and business associates. It's allowed me to have some fun along the way and enjoy some great social interaction rather than sitting in keyboard or in front of an iPhone or something and typing in a message, waiting for a response, and then, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And this is what the culture has happened. And this is why I believe some of the areas that has caused golf to decline. If you ask a lot of the teaching professionals out there, sure, there's a lot of them that will say that they're busy you know, their schedules are full, but there's also a lot out there that will tell you that they've noticed a big decline in their teaching over the years. And I think proof of that is some of the creative and inventive ways that they're trying to, many of them now, where they've come out with online programs now so that you don't even have to, and this is just goes shows you the changing times. Years ago, you know, you'd have to go to a driving range or a golf course and see your local teach professional. Nowadays, you can certainly, I would highly recommend you do it, but there's ways that you can take online lessons, and the younger generation particularly is more interested in that. They don't want to spend, again, it's that go, 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 go mentality. They don't want to spend the time going to the golf course to take an hour or so lesson when they can get within 15 or 20 minutes, they can do it online and then go and work on their own game. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think it has to work hand in hand. I think it's great to have online access, but I think you also need that one-on-one experience from a teach professional. And I think also, too, it helps to engage. And I think in conversation, I think it's important that for you to properly articulate to that teaching pro what it is that you want worked on rather than just sending a quick email to him or her in that way. So I think it's great to be engaged. And it's also easier for them to be able to assess, in my opinion, what's wrong with your game and how to fix it when you're right there in front of them and they're able to see that visually. So these are some of the things that we need to really take a hard look at in this industry. And these are some things that I'm going to be talking about in the weeks and the months to come on Golf Talk Live. Again, as I've said so many, many times, this program is not just about bringing you the latest and the greatest equipment and also, what's necessarily happening on tour all the time. There's a lot of great other venues out there that you can get that information. What I really want to do is use this as a vessel, if you will, as a teaching platform, number one, but also as a way for people in the golf industry to communicate with one another and to be able to express their voice and their opinions and viewpoints within the golfing community itself, but also with the golfing public. I think it's time for a re-education in the golfing world. And the only way that that's ever going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is to come from within the industry. And right now, that's not happening. There's a lot of chatter over here and there's a lot of chatter over there, but it's not coming together. And the only way to make change in any sort of industry for the better in order to get more people out golfing, instead of us all working independently, we need to come together and work as a team. And that's why I invite the teaching professionals to come on the program, and that's why I keep trying to change the format of the program to make it more appealing to the general public, to get them engaged and get them to come here every Thursday night. And, of course, for the women's segment, I want you gals involved as well. So that's happening every Tuesday here on Golf Talk Live's Women of Golf. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I take certainly great pleasure in providing these programs every week. So I want to take this opportunity to thank all of my listeners worldwide for faithfully tuning into Golf Talk Live each and every week. I can't express in words really the amount of pleasure and enjoyment I have in speaking with a number of talented coaches, teaching professionals, authors, and of course some entrepreneurs that have stopped by the program over this last year. And it's because of their participation and guest appearances that have really helped to make Golf Talk Live a first-class show. I've listened to some other programs out there and certainly a lot of great ones out there, but really I think that Golf Talk Live is really going to be in the forefront in the years to come. And I think that it's a lot of these great people that have come on board and have given their time to be able to instill their knowledge. Not only it helps me to learn more in the business. One thing about golf, if you understand it at all, it's a forever learning experience. And if anybody, and I don't care whether they are at the top of their game, and Tiger will tell you this himself, being at the top, it's a forever learning game. And anybody that tells you that they know everything that there is to know in golf is not being truthful. So, and I don't think you'll get anybody out there that will, but if you do, you need to quickly turn away and move in a different direction because you're about to get a shovel full of you-know-what. But anyways, this is something that I've wanted to do for a long, long time, and I've been given the opportunity to do that, and I've had some great participation by some truly top-notch professionals in the business. Some great authors have stopped by here as well, as I mentioned, and now I'm getting into more of some of the entrepreneurs as well that are in the golf business that are selling various products and services that want to get the word out there, and that's what I'm using this platform for. So I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning in each and every week, and I also want to give a special thanks to some of the people who I really treat as sponsors and supporters of the show. First and foremost, I want to thank a really great gentleman, Jonathan Laird. He is the owner, but he's also the publisher of a great publication here in the southeast part of the United States called South Coast Golf Guide. And you can get your copy if you visit southcoastgolfguide.com, you can get a copy there. You can contact them and get them to send you a copy if you don't happen to live in the area, or if you're traveling down into the southeastern part, and that's pretty much from Mississippi right over to Florida and beyond. If you hit most of the golf courses through the area and or some of the golf stores, they'll be carried in there, and some of the bigger hotels and that also carry them in there as well. You can certainly go on to southcoastgolfguide.com and find out how you can get your hands on a copy, and I would strongly recommend it. There's some great courses that are listed in Jonathan's guide. And excuse me. And if you're looking for some great places to play when you come down here, visiting in the southeastern part of the United States, that's the place to look, is in Jonathan's South Coast Golf Guide. So make sure you pick up a copy. If you're interested in some advertising in the Golf Guide, if you're in the business and the golf, whether you be a course or maybe somebody that has a product or service in the golf industry and you're interested in hitting that target market, you can reach Jonathan at jonathan@southcoastgolfguide.com. That's his email address, is jonathan@southcoastgolfguide.com. Or as I said, you can visit southcoastgolfguide.com and submit your contact information there, and Jonathan will certainly be more than happy to get back to you. Another great supporter of the program and who was also a guest last year was Miss Meredith Kirk of Meredith Kirk Golf, and of course she also has a magazine, Endless Golf, a beach magazine that she's a part of, and that's she works out, and of course, in the great state of South Carolina. And for those of you that haven't been tuning in and is tuning in for the first time, Meredith Kirk was crowned last year the 2014 Mrs. South Carolina in a beauty pageant that was held in the state, and she is gearing up this August, I believe, for the Mrs. USA. And then if she's successful in getting that, she'll go on to the Mrs. World competition. So congratulations again, Meredith, and thank you for all your continued support in the program, and much continued success. We'll be watching and keeping an eye out to make sure, see how things progress with your career. But she's also does a lot with junior golf, and so I would suggest that you visit her at meredithkirkgolf.com. Also, I want a special thank you to a couple from Down Under in Australia, Nikki and Tiffany Litherland, for all your help in spreading the word about the show, Golf Talk Live. I appreciate every week you're always spreading the word about upcoming shows and letting people know to tune in each and every week. So I want to thank you very much for all your continued support. And I believe Nikki and Tiffany are going to be heading back over to the United States very soon, and they're going to be working with this gentleman, Mr. Bernie Pinder, who is the founder and president of Ontic Golf, a custom line of putters, one of which I'm the proud owner of. Tiffany particularly works with Bernie very closely in all of the media and so forth, and I believe the website as well. And Mr. Pinder has been on the show before, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting him face-to-face down at the PGA show here just in January, just a few weeks back, and going to be doing some work with Bernie, his crew, in the months to come. So I want to thank Bernie for his continued support in the show, and he also every week manages to help spread the word and getting more people tuned in. And you can also visit onticgolf.com, his website, and check out some great putters, and you'll also can visit the link there of the program that Bernie was on Golf Talk Live, and you can listen to the recorded version of the interview that he and I had and pick up some great tips about getting custom fit for a putter. But visit onticgolf.com, and that's ontic, O-N-T-I-C, golf.com. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't help send out a special thank you to Barry and Carly Ray Glenn. Barry is also partnered with Ontic Golf. But Barry is a top-notch teacher professional, and Carly Ray, of course, is his one of his lovely daughters, who just turned 18 last fall and began her first year at LSU, and of course she got a scholarship there through her great, phenomenal play, and she's playing on the golf team at LSU, and I'm going to have to get in touch with Barry and see how they're doing. I haven't had a chance to follow up recently here, but I understand they were doing pretty good early in the season. But this young lady, prior to attending LSU last fall, had won her 100th golf tournament worldwide as a junior lady golfer, junior girl, before she turned the ripe old age of 18 and headed off to LSU. So this young lady has a very promising career. She wants to get into broadcasting, as I understand it, as well as play professional golf. And I'm quite sure that with the work ethic that Barry has instilled in her, that she will be very, very successful and be somebody to watch for in the the years to come. So, and I'm going to have them back on, I believe, a little bit later. Probably, I'm hoping around either April or May, I'm going to try and have them back on the show and get an update on how she's been doing. But just a phenomenal young lady, and just very, very professional, just a breath of fresh air in this day and age with some of the youngsters out there. She's just really got it together. So hats off to Barry for being a great father, and hats off to Carly Rae for being a top-notch young lady, and just continue success. And thank you for all of your support here in Golf Talk Live. Last but not least, I want to send a special thank you to my good buddy Peter Doyle of Doyle Golf Solutions over in Ireland. Peter and I have been communicating through social media now for a few years, and Peter has been a big supporter of the program as well, always posting comments and always redirecting a lot of the links and so forth that I post in through the social media to get his golfing followers over there in Ireland to tune into the program. So I know that we've been building up a good little following over in Ireland. So I appreciate that, Peter. Thank you very, very much. And sorry, buddy, I missed you over at the PGA Merch show. He was down visiting Bernie at the show, as well as taking a look around. And unfortunately, my time was a little short-lived at the PGA show, and we didn't get a chance to meet in person. But hopefully he'll be coming over before next year's show, and or maybe I'll be lucky and head over to Ireland and see him there. But anyways, Peter, thank you very, very much for all of your support. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into Golf Talk Live. I will be here next Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com. And we, as I said, will be starting our very first coaches call. And my coaches next week that will be joining me are teacher professionals Tom Patry, Gary Ochino, and, of course, Chuck Evans, who's been on the show as well. So make sure you stay tuned and tune in next week for Coach's Corner beginning on March 6th. And also, I'll be updating next week as well more on the new show, The Women of Golf, beginning on April 8th. So make sure you keep posted on that. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. God bless, and have a great weekend. And I will see you next time, Thursday, 6 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Golf Talk Live. Thank you, and have a great evening. God bless.